We got places to be today. The annual meeting after this and probably other things too. So I'll just jump right in at the beginning here. In our first lesson from Isaiah, we hear God issue a challenge to the people of Israel. It's some other things too, but it's also a challenge. It says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. It is too light a thing." Now, God's people needed raising up because they were in the middle of the Babylonian exile. When a foreign empire, Babylon, you know, had plundered their land, taken over, destroyed the temple, dragged off most of the population in chains to be enslaved in Babylon. And it is to those people, those enslaved in chains people in Babylon, that God says, it is too light a thing that you should raise yourselves up, that you should save yourselves, that you should restore your kingdom. That's not enough. That's not all you're going to do. Which is a ludicrous thing to say to a bunch of people who have spent a generation hoping they could ever get home at all, worrying about themselves. I mean, rightly so. Like, they were in dire straits, these people, for a long, long time. And then God comes to them and says, well, okay, you're gonna get out of this, but that's not enough. We're going to do a whole lot more than that. And they're like, I can't even believe we're going to get out of this. And not only that, it's not that God says, I'm going to save you from this exile and I'm going to bring you home. It's not even that. It's you are going to do this, which is even more ridiculous. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, I work for some guy. I've been here for decades. I barely remember who you are, God, because I've been away from my people and my land and my holy temple, which is just rubble now for so long. And yet God says this outlandish thing. It is too light a thing that you should be saved and that my people should come back to their kingdom in the way that it should be. It's too light a thing. But God says also, I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God says, I have much bigger plans than saving just you. It's pretty ridiculous. God's people were in a terrible place with an uncertain future. Like any reasonable humans in the history of the world, they were worried about themselves, about how they would make it, about whether they would make it at all. And God says, yeah, okay, of course I'll save you, I'll take care of you, but there's a lot more than that. You've got work to do. You don't get to just save yourselves and go home and rest. You've got work to do, people. God says, I don't save you just to save you. I'm saving you to save the whole world. I chose you so that through you I can choose the whole world. I love you so that through you the whole world will know that I love the whole world. I think this kind of ridiculous story of how God worked with the people of Israel, and indeed God did bring the people back, and I think you've mostly heard some of that before. This ridiculous story shows us a model for how the Holy Spirit works in the church, even today. Because we too are God's people, and we too face an uncertain future. You may have noticed this is a small church on the edge of town. And small churches on the edge of town nowadays tend not to do too well. I don't know if you know about that. The demographics and the statistics on churches like ours say that churches like ours close pretty much every other day. They say, well, there's not enough people, there's not enough excitement, there's not enough energy. They say, you know, people are getting older and they can't do the things they used to do. And all of those things are reasonable concerns for a church. And so what churches tend to do, as my wife knows better than anybody, because that's her job, is that churches tend to start, you know, worrying about themselves. And they worry about the institutional preservation of the church. They worry about, well, how are we going to keep the doors open? How are we going to keep being us in this place in the way that we've been? And that's the standard thing that churches fall into. And pretty soon you're sort of looking at yourselves and you're looking at each other and you sort of close in. And you forget that God is out there in the world doing the thing. It's a common way that churches go. Now, I don't think that that has happened in this church, and I don't think it's going to happen in this church. But I do think that it is a danger for this congregation, along with so many more. It's a danger that we could start focusing on fear, on dwindling resources, on preserving ourselves, on working toward our salvation as a little congregation right here, rather than looking out and joining in the work that God is doing in our community. Because just like the people of ancient Israel, God has called us to be a light to the nations and to show God's salvation to the ends of the earth. And just like the people of Israel back in the day, that seems a little outlandish that we would be, that that's what we're supposed to do, that that's what God has in store for us. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the surprising things that God has done in this church just in the last year, let's say in 2016. Things that surprised me, that I didn't, like at the beginning of 2016, I didn't have any idea this was going to happen. Things that surprised me about this year. Let's see. So we sent 3 kids to camp for the first time. And, you know, I had wanted to do that for a while, but I'll believe it when I see it. And we actually did. We sent 3 kids to camp, and it was an excellent experience for those kids. And we did some fundraising for them and did some other things. We had this idea for what's now called the Young Adult Leadership Initiative, which is the radical idea that if college students are going to be in church, that we should invest in them and in their leadership. And so we have Brendan, who I think is in the nursery right now, and Sarah, who are here helping us do that, piloting a program that's going to be all around the state of Michigan, hopefully a year from now. And we got a $2,000 grant to do that. That idea was not, I think I thought of that in like August 28th, so that was pretty new. We had Waffle Church on Christmas and New Year's, and that I certainly didn't think we were going to do. How many of you showed up for one of the Waffle Churches? It was like 40 people each time, but it was like a totally different 40 people. Yeah, that was pretty fun, right? We were in the fellowship hall, we had waffles, we didn't get syrup all over everything too much. Cleaning up was part of worship. That's actually my favorite part of Waffle Church, about how everybody cleaning and doing that work together is part of our worship. I wish there was a way to incorporate that in here. Everybody's on the team in Waffle Church. What else did we do? We had 9 baptisms in 2016. I wasn't expecting that. There were two little kids, 2 adults, and 5. Yeah, 2 little kids, 2 adults, and 5 like school age kids who kind of knew what they were getting into, and also probably didn't quite know what they were getting into. A big one for this year that surprised me is that now we're sponsoring a family of new Americans. Right? You should know that the decision to do that was made by the council while I was away at camp. So I was surprised when I came back and found that the council had decided to do this. And I was really proud. I mean, I had talked about it a little bit before, and I thought that might be a good idea, but it was never going to be my thing. It was going to be your thing. And y'all, a few of you in particular, you know who you are, have done some enormously big work, good work, making that happen, welcoming our family, and being a steady presence for many, many new Americans who have come to Kalamazoo this year. It's been a big deal. Related to that, I certainly didn't think that we would be talking about supporting Davier in trying to start a church for the new African folks. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. We're going to see if we can help with that. That's not really our thing, but we're going to help. We're going to support that. So that I definitely did not expect. Could be a lot of fun. What else? I didn't expect our Sunday attendance to increase by 5% last year. You know, I love spreadsheets. My spreadsheet says our attendance on Sundays increased by 5%. And I didn't expect, here's one of those because I'm a super money nerd, I did not expect that you all would give $5,000 more than we had budgeted that you would give. That really helped out our finances. We'll hear more about this in the annual meeting, but I did not expect that, and I'm very excited about it because I'm like that. Speaking of money, our Pentecost mortgage payoff that we were working on. The idea came in late 2015 of, hey, let's pay off our mortgage by the time of our 50th anniversary Pentecost celebration in 2017. We're getting close now. So at the beginning of last year, we owed just under $35,000. Or no, just under $36,000, pardon me. And last year we paid it down to where our balance at the end of the year was only $13,700. And currently, and then since then, it's got a couple thousand more off, so now it's under $12,000. So we paid off two-thirds of our mortgage this year. That I did not expect. At the beginning of last year, I was able to talk to some folks, and we received $8,000 in donations, kind of leading gifts to kick that off. And so this year, we've already received $1,500 in these leading gifts to kick it off for this year. So this is, I guess, a good time to ask if anybody would like to join in on that. Maybe give $1,000 or $500 or $20 or whatever it is to pay off the mortgage. Today would be an excellent day to do that. We're under $12,000. We only budgeted to pay the mortgage bill 3 months this year because we think we can get this done by the end of March. So if anybody wants to get in on that and wants to lead in that, wants to help us achieve our goal of being free from debt so that we can be free to follow the Holy Spirit wherever God is leading us in the church, today's a good day to use your generosity to do just that. So those are some of the things that surprised me that I did not expect from last year. And there was all that plus the things I did expect last year. Like I expected that we would get a new council structure, which we did. I expected that we would do a visioning process, or start a visioning process with Pastor Dave Sprang from the Synod office, which we did. I expected that we would continue to work with Loaves and Fishes and with Udhar and with so many other ministry partners. I expected all that. I expected us to show up here and do this. There's a lot of things I expected. But there's also many I did not expect. It is too light a thing, God says, to show up for worship on Sundays and take care of our little church and expect God to take care of everything else. It is too light a thing. Because we know God's love for us in Jesus Christ, because we know that in Jesus God has forgiven us and set us free from the power of sin and death, so that nothing we do and nothing that happens to us can keep God from loving us. Because of all that, we believe God's outlandish words. It is too light a thing to follow Jesus along the path I expected to take, or you expected to take, or we expected to take. It is too light a thing to live out our faith here in this room or in this building when God is doing so much in the world around us. Instead, as in Isaiah, God will send us to the ends of the earth, to every corner of Kalamazoo, to participate in the salvation that God is working in those places. Are you guys doing anything for the MLK holiday tomorrow? It kind of stuck up on me a little bit. But there's volunteering opportunities all day through Volunteer Kalamazoo. There's a teach-in at Western about all kinds of different issue areas and things to do related to MLK stuff. I think this afternoon there's the worship celebration at Mount Zion Baptist. There's a thing about gerrymandering tomorrow night, and there's a thing about like organizing action stuff. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff going on for Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, and I might just blow off some of the work I'm supposed to do and go and do this stuff instead, because it seems important. Because as I was preparing this sermon, I remembered that God is doing a bunch of stuff that doesn't happen in my office. And probably I can do that stuff in my office on Tuesday, probably. And probably tomorrow I could go out and learn what God is doing through some of these community MLK service opportunities. In this year, 2017, I promise you that God will continue to surprise us. We don't yet know what God will have us do this year or what new opportunities God will set before us. But what we do know is that we are God's people and that God believes in us. Like God believed in the people of Israel. When God told those people in Babylon that they would do these amazing things, not just save themselves, but bring God's message to the whole world, they didn't believe God. They didn't think they could pop. Like, who are you talking to? Not us. There's no way we could do that. And sometimes we fall into the same trap of thinking that we can't do what God told us to do. If God told us to do it, then we can do it. God believes in us. Usually more than we believe in God, to be honest. God knows we can do more in our community than we could possibly have imagined, just like we did in 2016. God knows this world is a scary, lonely, dangerous place, and God promises to be with us as we make our way through this world together. Because that's what it means to be the church. The church is the people who trust that God will shape our lives and will give us purpose. And our purpose will be God's purpose, God's mission, to share God's love and salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.